Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. Here at the Business Creators Radio Show, we help you win at the game of business and marketing so you thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. Be sure to check out our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. where you will see the opportunity to subscribe to your favorite syndication network and review a breadth and depth of topics relevant to business creators just like you. Now, today, we're going to have a new take on something that we have covered a few times on this show. So we sort of have a track along these lines. And it's the type of thing where we have constant evolution, so it's great to have new voices and get new perspectives on it. And there are a couple things that we're going to be covering today that, candidly, I don't really know much about. It's been a while since I've really been in digital marketing, and I know there have been a couple innovations, and there have been some evolutions in search engine optimization and search engine marketing. So very, very happy to have with us somebody today who is going to deliver a ton of great information that's going to really help you. So make sure you subscribe so you can download this and listen to it again to catch all those points. His name is Bradley Benner. And to hear it from Bradley himself, he's a self-proclaimed addict when it comes to digital marketing. He's the co-founder of a company called Semantic Mastery, as well as the owner and founder of Big Bamboo Marketing. With a unique skill set, Bradley provides digital marketers and business owners with the tools, training, and insights they need to make more money, get better clients, and work less. Together with his team at Semantic Mastery, Bradley consistently delivers proven real-world results-oriented training and business development tools. Bradley has graciously joined us today to share actionable tips and tricks to help you navigate the semantic web and optimize your digital marketing efforts so that you can make more money and get better clients by working smarter, not harder. So, Bradley, come on in. The weather's fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, Adam.
And we're honored to have you here. So what I'd like to do real quick is by now, some of our listeners probably have a separate browser tab open, and they're binging the Yahoo out of the Googles, trying to discover more about who this Bradley Benner is and what is Semantic Mastery and what is this Big Bamboo Marketing. So what I'd like to do before we dive into the primary topics we're going to cover today is let's take a step back and tell us a little bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
So, yeah, well, I actually come from a contracting background, technical background. I was an electrician for many years. Right out of high school, I got certified as an electrician and went into that trade for several years and then ended up working for Verizon for a few years doing cable maintenance and such. So I'm still working with tools and in a, you know, kind of a craft-type trade. And that back in 2000 time frame, 2001, I got introduced to the real estate market because obviously back then, if everybody remembers, the real estate market was incredibly hot. You know, if you touched it, you made money.
Right.
And I got sucked into the house flipping business, you know, by those we buy houses signs you see on the side of the road and all that.
Yeah.
I actually got sucked into that business because I, you know, read some sales letters that were being sent to me via direct mail about, you know, how to learn that business. And I was going to college at the time to become an electrical engineer, but I was really interested in the idea that I could make money from real estate. And so long story short, I decided to stop going to college and instead focus my study time on learning the real estate business. And I did. And within about 3 months, I actually was able to quit my job working for Verizon, you know, in the technical trades and go into a full-time house flipping business, which is where I really learned marketing. You know, having my own business is where I started to learn about traditional marketing at the time. This was back in 2003. So the web marketing was, you know, in its infancy at that point. It wasn't something that I really focused on at all. I mean, I used the computer for creating marketing messages within Word and postcards and things like that, but I never really used it for digital marketing purposes. But I learned marketing and the principles of marketing over the course of several years when I was running my real estate business. And I fell in love with marketing, actually. I enjoyed the real estate end of it too, but I did fall in love with the marketing process. And then in 2007, the bubble kind of burst with real estate, and I was actually doing rehabs at that time because I had a construction background. So unfortunately, I ended up, basically losing everything because I had several rehab projects that fell way below market value. The after repaired value fell below that, from even less than what I had purchased them from. And I still had tens of thousands of dollars of construction work to do. So long story short, I ended up, closing that business down and went back into electrical work for about 2 years. So from about 2008 until 2010, I went back into doing electrical work, this time as a contractor doing my own business. So I was running my own business, but I wanted to generate more leads for my own business. And I had always enjoyed the marketing business or marketing for the real estate business. So I started looking at how to generate more leads for my own electrical contracting business. And by that time, the digital marketing was really where most leads were coming from for local businesses such as contractors. And so I started looking, and I didn't really have the money to hire a digital marketing professional at the time. So I decided I was always interested in it anyways. So I decided I'd take a look at what, how to get better results from, how to generate leads online. And naturally at that point, Google was really becoming the big elephant in the room, the big kid on the block. And so I started looking at how to generate leads from Google. And what was interesting was I became absolutely fascinated with search engine optimization and learning how to manipulate Google search results to benefit me or whatever I wanted it to benefit. And so I started generating leads for my own business that way by just building I learned how to build WordPress websites, and then I learned how to manipulate the search results. And at the time, Google Maps really had just come out, and so I learned how to start getting Maps results to rank on the search results page. I set up my own website as well as for a few of the other industries, contractors that I worked or trades that I had worked with in the construction business. And I set up some sites for them just as guinea pigs so I could test different methods. And within about 6 to 9 months, I was able to really start generating leads for not only my own business, but also for a few others. And that's when I realized that I was onto something. And so I really expanded it from that point forward. I continued to build additional websites and Google Maps listings and get them to rank in Google. And what I was doing at the time was I was building them from, I owned the assets, but I would get them to rank and start producing for different contractor type businesses. And once they would rank and start producing leads, phone calls, contact form submissions from the websites, that kind of thing, then I would contact contractors and say, hey, look, I've got these assets available that are producing leads. Do you want to lease these from me, or do you want to buy the leads from me on a pay-per-lead basis? So I started really a digital lead generation business. And while I was still doing electrical work, but about 2 years into it, around 2012, I had built up enough of a portfolio of lead generation assets and making enough money from that I was able to quit doing electrical work entirely because I realized I enjoyed working from home. I didn't have to fight traffic, and I could make more money with digital marketing than I could pulling wire. So I at that point I opened up my agency, Big Bamboo Marketing, so that I could provide my expertise and consultation services to other local businesses, not just contractors, and really start developing like that monthly retainer type income. And about 2013, a year into my agency business, I joined a high-level mastermind group with other digital marketers, and we met once a month for a webinar, and that was about it. So I decided to take it upon myself to create a weekly accountability group for anybody that wanted to join me that was a part of this mastermind. And very quickly, I kind of partnered up with four other people other people showed up, but about four of us plus myself were the ones that consistently were sharing information. We all each owned our own separate digital marketing businesses, but we would come every week and talk about things that were working, things that weren't working, different methods and techniques and sharing information. And there was really about five of us that did that consistently on a weekly basis, while others just came and would listen. And we did that for, 7 or 8 months before we realized that what we were sharing was actually better information than what we were paying for to be part of this high-level mastermind. So we saw an opportunity to create our own company and start our own information product and digital consulting and coaching business. So in 2013, we started Semantic Mastery, which is now me and my four partners. I've got one other partner in the U.S. and three international partners. And so the five of us together have, you know, vast experience in multiple methods of digital marketing, from, you know, search engine optimization to content marketing to pay-per-click advertising to programming and email marketing, web design. And it's really cool because we're able to share our information as a group, as a team, to a vast audience of people that are in either aspiring digital marketers, like people that want to be digital marketing consultants or agency owners, or even to business owners that are like do-it-yourself type business owners, or have people in-house that they'd like to, you know, train how to get better results from digital marketing. And so that's really who our audience is, and that's what we've been doing since.
Well, great. And, you know, that's quite a story there, and our trajectories are somewhat similar. I first got involved, or at least interested in the idea of e-commerce right around the time you were getting started, because you mentioned that you were already in it at the time that Google became a thing. And I remember when I thought I was hot because I had email addresses with both Alta Vista and Rocket Mail. What's Rocket Mail, people were asking. Yeah, you remember, but a lot of our audience actually doesn't. And I got involved in this stuff right around the time that the AdSense party was in full swing. And by the time I figured it out, the party was over. So there went my first $1 million right there. We've had a lot of evolution since then. Things have gotten kind of interesting. We've had some fun. I also remember the days of optimizing your Google Maps listing. And, you know, I kind of have a shortcut to it. See, I only have a mailing address because I work either from a home office or from one of my five secret locations around Las Vegas. But I've managed to get a map listing without even trying because of a little technique that I know that I actually share with people all the time, but I don't explicitly say this is how I did it. So there's a lot of little tactics that you can do, some things you even stumble into. And what inspires me about you, Bradley, is you're somebody that, at least from what I'm seeing so far, is somebody who boldly experiments with things and makes new discoveries that gives you an edge that other companies that are simply looking to model what's already out there don't have.
Yeah, that's correct. And again, I'm fortunate because I have four other partners as well as myself that, you know, we all of us together are always testing. And, you know, that's one of our biggest things is we always are setting up test sites or test campaigns to try to figure out what works and what doesn't. And then once we figure out something that works, we repeat it and or try to duplicate it. And if we're able to duplicate it, then that's when we share it with our broader audience. And so everything that we do is tested. It's not theory. And, you know, we use these. It's not like we don't just sell information. Unfortunately, in my line of work as a information product developer, there's a lot of people that just sell information products, even in when it comes to digital marketing. And it's a lot of theory, but they don't actually practice it and use it to get results for their own business. In other words, they don't practice what they preach. And that is probably true in every industry, but it's especially true in the digital marketing training world. But fortunately, like I said, my partners and I, we each have our own separate businesses, our own separate companies that we have clients to that we're held accountable to. And so we have to be able to get them results in order for those businesses to stay in business. And so we use our collective knowledge to test all the time under the Semantic Mastery brand. And once we, you know, find methods that work really well and we consider them cutting edge because we're always finding new methods, then we prove them. Then we apply them to our own clients to see if we can get them results with these methods as well. And then also teach that to our audience and our students. And that's what, you know, again, I'm fortunate because it's certainly not just me. I've got other partners that, you know, handle different aspects of marketing, things that their strengths, you know, they have their strengths and weaknesses, and I have my strengths and weaknesses. And we've been together since 2013 and just had a really, really good relationship and been able to provide extensive, wide-reaching type of training to pretty much anybody that wants to learn digital marketing.
Right. Now, there's one more thing I want to get into before we share some of your discoveries here, is you in your biographical statement and some of your writings, I've heard you refer to something called the semantic web. What does that mean?
Well, the semantic web is really the evolution of the web, because the web used to be just pages online that were indexed, essentially websites and what you would call search strings and search queries and keyword-based stuff. But really, the web has become connected to everything. So they call it things, not strings now, right? It's we are a web of things, or the internet of things. And so what I mean by that is it's no longer just about web pages, right? It's about devices, mobile devices, refrigerators, Alexa and Google Home, and everything is cars. Everything is connected to the web. Our TVs are everything that we own now is connected to the web. And so the web has to be able to talk to all these devices and these things. And in order to do so, it had to evolve. And the programming language has changed. And the onset of artificial intelligence and what they call machine learning, and all of that has really, really advanced over the last few years. And so the semantic web is all-encompassing. It basically covers all of that stuff. And there are some new programming languages and such that can be used or implemented in order to get better results within search engines. And so that's part of the thing. One of the things that we do is we teach how to create or to establish, verify, and solidify an entity, a web entity, which could be a brand, right? So a brand could be a business that is either has a physical location or just an online type business, but it's not just the website anymore that is the brand. It is the website plus all of the social media properties and the news publications that point to it, and the interviews, like a podcast interview, which you and I are doing right now. That's part of a brand, can be part of a brand, and can be pulled into that entity. And so there's a way to connect all of these things so that you can really elevate your authority and your presence within Google, especially, and use that to your advantage.
Right. And to me, that helps to really identify this a lot better. So there's a thing out there, and I think a lot of our listeners may have actually heard of it, called Google My Business. How is this different from some of the other animals that Google has released, and how does one use it for online lead generation?
Well, Google My Business is what was formerly Maps. So, when you think of a Google Maps listing for a business, that is now all managed underneath the Google My Business profile. So Google My Business, or what I'm going to call GMB for short, GMB is the evolution of Maps to also include a lot of additional features and tools that Google gives business owners to use. And what's great about it is they're free. However, I do want to preface something right now that I need to kind of disclaim this, because currently Google is trying to combat or fight a lot of spam GMB listings out there, Maps listings that have been a lot of SEOs out there, including myself, have been able to manipulate Google using Maps listings for quite some time, and Google has found ways to identify, and they're trying to close a lot of that, prevent a lot of that right now. So right now, if you have an existing Google My Business profile that has been established for any period of time, I do not recommend going in and doing any sort of significant changes to the profile, because there are a lot of real, genuine, valid businesses out there that are being getting their GMB listings suspended just from making normal type of edits or changes to them. So I don't want to scare anybody. You're going to be fine if you don't go in and make any significant changes. If you're a brand new business and you have not claimed or verified your GMB profile, I recommend that you do that. And you can make some changes initially when you first verify it, which typically the way you do that, by the way, is you go search. You can do a search for your brand name on the web, on Google, and see if it pulls up a profile, a Maps listing. And you can even click into Google Maps if you'd like and do the same search and see if it pulls up a Maps listing. And if it does, if you don't know if it's been verified or claimed by you or not, you can click on it and it will show you a little link that says, is this your business? And if it's not, if it says that, you can click on that and actually verify or claim it. And the way that typically works is they will send you a postcard. So you start the process, or you can go to business.google.com and search for your business name, and same thing, same process. If you have already claimed it, then you will automatically, through your Google profile that you're logged into, you'll automatically go to the dashboard for that business if you visit business.google.com. if you haven't claimed it, it'll prompt you to search for your business, and you can type your name in. And then if it pulls it up and it shows that it's unclaimed, it'll allow you through a step-by-step kind of wizard to initiate the claims process, which is typically they'll send you a postcard to the business address. Once you get that, it'll have a PIN on it that you enter, and that will allow you to start editing, and it will allow you to start editing that listing. That's okay right now. If it's brand new, you can get in there and make some edits, optimize it, add a business description, your hours of operation. If it's a service area business, like a contractor would be, where the contractor goes to the customer location instead of like a storefront where the customer comes to the business location, then you can set what's called your service area, by rate. You can do it by zip codes or cities or towns or county or state, whatever you want to do. That's all important, and you can do all of that if it's a brand new listing. If you do it rather quickly within a couple of days of verifying it. But I just wanted to warn your audience, what I'm going to be talking about today is instead of talking about how to optimize your GMB profile like I would have planned on, because of what's going on within Google right now, even valid businesses are getting suspended from doing nothing other than going in and making some adjustments or changes to their profile. So I would recommend staying out of optimizing the profile right now if the business has been published and claimed and has been, existed for any amount of time. Now, that said, there is still some really powerful things you can do within Google My Business that can benefit not just local businesses, but also even a regional or national or even potentially a global business. Let me explain what I mean. Most people think of Google My Business or a Google Maps listing as something that only a local business would utilize. Once again, like a storefront that would, be trying to attract customers to come walk into their door. Or a service area business like a plumber or, a tree service contractor or something like that that serves a local area. But these are Google properties that helps to validate that entity. Like I just mentioned, even an online business, a virtual business, still has a physical location somewhere. It could be somebody's home, right? It's fine. But it's still a physical location where that business resides. So why not take advantage of these free Google tools and create a Google My Business listing for that business, send the postcard to the home address or wherever the physical address is of that virtual business. For any business, you should, in my opinion, still create the Google My Business listing because it's another Google property that you can add to your entity, right, that helps to validate that entity as well as give it a little bit more authority in Google's eyes. So once you have I recommend, first of all, making sure you have a Google My Business listing, whether you're a local type of business or not. But number two, there's a feature in there called posts. So it's very much like publishing posts to a Facebook page. If once you've logged into the dashboard for GMB, if you look in the left-hand sidebar, there's a navigation menu, there's a navigation menu, and there's a one of the tabs says posts. If you click on that, it'll pull up the ability to publish posts just like you could on a Facebook page or like a blog, for example. They're image and or video driven posts, so you can upload an image or a video, and then there's a portion that you can input text, and it allows you up to 1,500 characters, and then there's a call to action button that you can also include, which could be a tap to call button for a mobile device, because most of these GMB posts are designed specifically for mobile device users. They can be seen on desktops and laptops as well. But again, it was really meant to help drive traffic from mobile devices. Because remember, 7 out of all 10 searches now, especially with local intent, originate from a mobile device. So the Google My Business posts, or GMB posts as I like to call them, gives you the ability to go in there and create posts regularly, publish often and regularly. And that just creates activity within that GMB listing, which helps to kind of tickle what we call tickle that freshness factor, that freshness part of the algorithm that Google likes to see, fresh and regular content updates. And it's done directly within the Google platform. And so within those calls to action, you can also link, call to action, you can select from a dropdown a call button, which will automatically, when somebody taps it, will ring the phone that's listed in that GMB listing, is the phone number for that business. You can also you can create a learn more button, but then you can insert a link to whatever you want, back to your website, a landing page, a product page, a service page. You can send people to your Facebook or your Yelp listing or whatever you want to do. You can send them anywhere you want. And there's various other call to action text on those buttons like book now or get offer, you know, things like that. But essentially, it still creates a link from Google. So you can actually use that to your advantage. And the key with the GMB post, again, even if you're not a local business, you can use that to benefit whatever business you have, because you can post regularly from Google and provide links back to your what we call tier one entity assets, which would be your main website, your product and service pages within the main website, your blog posts if you're blogging, doing content marketing from your website. You could link to your primary social media accounts. You could link to any other like tier one assets that are out there that are linking back to you, like, again, press releases or external blogs that you're listed on, guest posts, things like that. You can link from Google to those, and it starts to really start to solidify that entity, as we talked about with the semantic web. It tells Google, hey, look, this is us, and this is us in all these places on the web, and you're actually linking to them from within Google. So you're really reinforcing that relationship between your primary asset, your domain, and all of these tier one entity assets. And that really creates this map within Google to say, hey, this brand is out there, and they've got this wide footprint on the web. If that makes any sense, that really helps to elevate the status and authority within Google.
Yeah, it certainly does. I couldn't agree more. So I wanted to ask one question here. You mentioned that if you have your profile basically up to date, or you feel it's up to date or what have you, to not update it. But you're saying, but what if you have a local business and you need to change your mailing address? I figure I'd ask this because this may be occurring in some of our listeners' minds.
Sure. Well, I mean, again, you can attempt to do it if you have to. Like if you move locations, you've got no choice but to go in and make that change. And you may or may not get suspended. I can't tell you. Like, honestly, there's no rhyme or reason to it right now. It's unfortunate, but it's just because Google's trying to figure out a way to combat spam. And so they've got what I call an itchy trigger finger. There are certain activities that can trigger a suspension, and it's algorithmic. It's not like a manual suspension where somebody went and reviewed it and said, okay, you know what, this looks fake, we're gonna kill it. It's just something that happens, and we haven't figured out exactly what yet. There is a reinstatement or a reconsideration process that you can follow to try to get it reinstated if it gets suspended. However, I can tell you with absolute certainty that there is a backlog in that right now because of so many unintentional suspensions by the algorithm, and so many valid businesses have submitted these reconsideration requests, that there's a backlog. And so if it's God forbid, and you know that it happens to you, you submit the reconsideration request, and Google's going to send you a canned response. It's going to say, you know, due to the backlog, it'll be 2 to 3 weeks before we can review your case. Well, that could be devastating to a local business that relies on the traffic from Google, right? And so there's really not a lot of alternatives right now. I mean, again, if you have to change details because you changed locations or whatever the case may be, you can attempt to do it. And I wouldn't fault you for trying. And you may get away, you may be able to successfully make that edit without there being any problems at all. But if it does suspend it, then, you know, it can be quite painful while you're waiting for Google. You know, they're like the federal government because they're so big, they're slow to respond. So there's not a lot of options on how to remedy that other than to submit the reconsideration request, and perhaps during that time that you're waiting for them, maybe run some Google ads or something so that your traffic doesn't completely dry up if you rely heavily on Google for traffic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense here. And, you know, the sad thing about these types of things is the algorithms and the bots that sometimes drive these things are just absolutely stupid. They make these determinations. Like, if you think of people who attempt to run, I know we're discussing Google here, but I've seen people who attempt to run Facebook ads, and their ad will get declined because it says there's no link to your privacy policy. So They'll add a link to their privacy policy, and then they'll resubmit the ad, and they'll say, your ad has been declined because there's no link to the privacy policy. And they'll say, I added the link to the privacy policy, resubmit. And then they'll get another decline that says, we have given you clear instructions 3 times to add that privacy policy link. Why hasn't it been added yet? Like, I added it!
Yeah.
And then, frustrating. I mean, I had this one case where back when I dabbled in Facebook advertising, it's something, and I've said this many times, I don't do it. I'm not really interested in doing it for my business because of how aggravating it is and my lack of tolerance for absurdity. Is I was applying ads to promote a teleseminar we were doing for the Business Creators Institute on how to get sponsorships to attend events. And somehow Facebook's little bots or algorithms became convinced that I was selling tobacco products. So I wrote back like, look, moron, this is not a tobacco product. And then they said, well, your ads declined because you're doing multi-level marketing. I said, no, this is not multi-level marketing, but here are some screenshots of some ads that are active right now that do promote MLM products. And then I got this real nasty letter from an actual human being that said, don't you ever question our decisions if you want to continue to use our platform. Your ad is denied.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yet. Yeah.
How dare you?
So there's a perception that there are these attitudes out there. And I wanted to take a moment to address this. And my personal thought on it, and this is why you need to have a diversified strategy, because these types of mass programs, whether it be Google My Business or Facebook advertising or anything like that that everybody's chasing after, which these are good products, don't get me wrong. The latter I just choose not to use based on my experience. But you have to bear in mind that they can really only be one piece to what you're doing, because they can get suspended for some ridiculous reason. Their algorithms will, act like they're looking at you in an alternative universe, and then if you try and ask a human being, you might get some human being decides to push you around just because they can.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I'd like to expand on that a bit, Adam, because I agree with you 100%. You know, even though I have built my entire business primarily within Google and use, and I learned how to do SEO very, very well. I also like using YouTube for traffic and Google Ads to display network and pay-per-click ads or search ads, as well as, YouTube ads included. But those are all Google products. And so what you said about diversifying your lead sources and your marketing and advertising opportunities is 100% correct. And, you should be – now – You should be using more than just one, because, God forbid all you relied on was Google Maps and your listing gets suspended. And what do you do as a business? You could literally lose your business because your leads dry up if that's all you focused on. Diversifying your lead sources is a great way to do it through. I mean, and there's multiple ways that you can do that. Now, that said, I also do want to caution, though, because a lot of business owners I know, especially newer business owners, they come in and they think, oh, God, I've got to do all these things and I've got to learn all these things or hire people to do all these things. And I don't recommend that, because you'll become overwhelmed and you either will do them very poorly or you just won't do them. So I would recommend instead pick one thing that interests you to start with and learn that, or at least implement that, even if you don't learn it, find somebody that can implement it for you, whatever the case may be. And once that is running consistently well and producing, then you go to another method and implement that until it's producing well. So that instead of becoming overwhelmed, you take it one step at a time. So.
Yeah, this is one of the mistakes we commonly see when folks make the transition from solopreneurial business to having a leveraged entrepreneurial business with employees and contractors and all that. And I've seen this way too often. People invest in some coaching program that's going to help them make this their best year ever, blah, 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 blah. And they attend one group coaching session. And next thing you know, they're out there in the marketplace. So they got to hire a copywriter. They got to hire a social media person. Got to hire a webmaster. Got to hire a customer service person. We got to hire an ad person. We got to hire somebody to do the customer scripting. We got to hire a lead sourcer. We got to hire this, that, and the other thing. So they'll say, because somebody told them they got to have all these things, they'll engage all these people, and it's like, what do we do with this now? And then they say, well, I hired all these people, and they all just took my money and didn't do anything for me. No, no, that's not exactly how this plays out. 10 years ago, when I used to own a web development firm, which I was perfectly a good business, except the fact that I was excited to close it down. I've shared this many times on Business Creators Radio before. There was this one client we had who was a referral from another client who apparently had taken that similar approach. And this guy, after basically not responding to weeks of inquiries of, hey, when can we get started? Hey, can we do this? He decides on a Friday afternoon, okay, we got to get the website up today. Like I said, okay, it's Friday afternoon. I'm not the designer. I got to get my team here. And this is something we've been asking about for weeks. He comes back with, well, it's 1 o'clock, and as I remember, the business day ends at 5, so what are you doing during those next 4 hours? So I don't remember all the trajectory of this, but I know that about an hour later, I found myself on some conference call with like 5 other people who were getting the exact same message from this guy. And between the 5 of us, what we determined is we had all taken on this guy as a client as a favor to one of our other clients who he was friends with. And we all were telling the exact same story, and somebody on the call, and it wasn't me, asked the question out loud, what are any of us doing here? Don't we have, like, literally everything more important than this guy?
Yeah.
And I don't think this client meant badly. I think he was a nice person. I think he cared about his business and everything else. But with all his coaching and all his masterminding that he was receiving, I think the thread that was missing is, what are you going to do with all this? How are you going to leverage it? What pieces can you implement now? What pieces can you move ahead with later? This is why, Bradley, we need people like you to help bifurcate that. So we're a little over halfway through here already. We're having so much fun. And there is something I would love to discuss with you here. I've set myself as